Welcome to AM Best Audio.
AM Best has maintained a stable outlook on Japan's non-life insurance industry. Here to discuss the market is Charles Chiang, Senior Financial Analyst, AM Best. And Charles, before we get into the specifics, can you set the scene for us? What does the macroeconomic backdrop look like right now? And is it broadly supportive of the segment?
Yeah, sure. Japan's macro picture has shifted quite profoundly over the past year. The Bank of Japan has moved away from the ultra-loose monetary policy that's defined economy for decades. It raised the policy rate to 0.75% in December 2025, and then again to 1% at its June 2026 meeting, the highest level that we see since 1995. That was following a sharp upward revisions to the BOJ's inflation forecast in April to 2.8% for this fiscal year, largely on energy-driven pressures linked to the Middle East conflict. For growth itself is fairly modest. The IMF has Japan's real GDP expanding by about 0.7% this year and 0.6% in 2027. So it's slowing, not accelerating. But for non-life insurers, the interest rate story is the more important one. The 10-year Japanese government bond yield is now around 2.5%, up from the low 1% range in early 2025. So insurers are reinvesting maturing bonds at materially higher yields, and that's a genuine boost to their investment income. However, there is a complication though. The Japanese yen. It sustained the depreciation cuts both ways. It's generating translation gains on insurers' overseas earnings, but it's also pushing up claims costs domestically, particularly for imported components in the motor line. So the picture is supportive on balance, but not without cross currents. And that's really the balance that we are capturing in the stable outlook.
On the underwriting side, Japan's non-life market is heavily weighted towards fire and auto, and both lines have their own dynamic at play. How have premiums and claims trends been shaping up, and what are insurers doing about it?
It's really a tale of two lines. Fire insurance has been going through a genuine structural transition. The General Insurance Rating Organization of Japan has pushed through multiple rounds of rate increases, and insurers have tightened policy terms alongside that, including shortening the maximum renewal period on homeowner policies from 10 years down to 5. That's less than repriced more frequently as the risk environment evolves, and we think it's putting fine line profitability on a much more sustainable footing. Voluntary automobile, however, is the tougher story. It's nearly half of the industry's premium base, and it's been under pressures from claims inflation, rising costs for imported parts because of weaker Japanese yen, labor shortages in the repair sector, and simply more expensive repairs for increasingly complex vehicles. Insurers have responded by pushing through motor rates increase for fiscal year 2025, and that's helped stabilize their combined ratios, with a modest further improvement expected over the next 12 months as those increases continue to earn through. On top of that, natural catastrophe losses over the past year have actually come in lower than expected, which has been a genuine tailwind for underwriting results across the sector. So overall, premium growth has continued despite a sustained, saturated domestic market, and it's really being driven by rate, not volume.
The report points to investment performance as a core contributor to profitability over the past year. Can you walk us through what's driving that and whether it's sustainable?
Yeah, absolutely. This has been one of the standout features of the last 12 months. A lot of the major non-life insurers have been realizing gains from divesting their strategic equity holdings, and that's materially boosted their reported investment income through 2025 and into 2026. Those gains have been helped along by a strong domestic equity market. The TOPIX in Japan has been sitting near multi-decade highs. At the same time, higher Japanese government bond yields are lifting reinvestment returns, which is the same dynamic that we touched on earlier. There's a partial offset from mark-to-market pressures on some of the older, lower coupon fixed income holdings still on their books, but there's a modest drag relative to the overall tailwind. Looking ahead, we expect this to continue. Investors have committed to reducing their strategic equity holdings to near zero over the next 4 to 5 years. So there should be a continuing stream of realizing gain on top of the ongoing benefit from higher reinvestment yields as the central bank continues to normalize monetary policy. So yes, we do see this as sustainable, at least over our 12-month outlook horizon, and is a big part of why we are comfortable with the stable core.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Last question, Charles. Could you briefly touch on the two final themes from the report? There's regulatory changes reshaping the domestic markets and catastrophic risks that's always in the background. And perhaps leave us with your overall read on the next 12 months.
On the regulatory side, the big development in the market is JICS, the new Japan Insurance Capital Standard, which took effect for the fiscal year end of March 2026. It moves the solvency measurement onto an economic value basis for both assets and liabilities, which is a real paradigm shift from the old solvency margin ratio regime. And it brings Japan much closer to the global insurance capital standard. That should improve transparency and comparability, which matters for this insurer's credibility in cross-border business. Most of the majors have already been running their economic solvency ratio internally for years, and they are sitting comfortably above 200%, well ahead of the 100% minimum. And alongside that, the FSA has tightened the market conduct rules following some sales practice and claims handling issues in recent years. New supervisory guideline from August 2025 and implementing rules under the amended Insurance Business Act took effect just last month. That means stronger compliance and internal audit requirements and the clearer separations of agencies that combine insurance sales with things like auto repair. Compliance costs will rise in the short term, but we'd expect lower policy acquisition costs and better governance over the medium term. And it's also worth noting that the upcoming version of MSAD, two non-life units in 2027, which will reshape the competitive landscape on top of all this. On catastrophe risk, the real tail exposure here is earthquake, particularly the projected Nankai Trough events, which could exceed magnitude 8 sometime over the next 3 decades. Residential earthquake risk is largely absorbed by government-backed reinsurance scheme, but commercial and industrial exposures is retained by private insurers and global reinsurers. So a major event could still mean high reinsurance costs and some earnings volatility. That said, strong capital levels, low take-up of commercial earthquake cover, and extensive reinsurance protections are all meaningful mitigants. So stepping back, reinvestment yields are improving, fine line profitability is on a more sustainable footing, investment income is a genuine tailwind, and the regulatory transitions is proceeding in an orderly way. Claims inflation and catastrophe tail risk are the things to watch, but they are manageable within the current capital base. That's why we are comfortable maintaining the stable outlook for the next 12 months.
That was AM Best Senior Financial Analyst Charles Chiang. You can find the full report online at ambest.com. For AM Best TV, I'm John Weber.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.